I have Jean, Chris, Laura, Declan, and the late Andrew. Ah, not late. Ladies and gentlemen, could I ask you to leave so the others panel can get here? Thank you. If you could take your paraphernalia with you as well. I am really glad this year to get to meet Chris Chang. I have to admit that I've only seen a few Top Shot, but I plan to see more. Chris, can I have you take the mic, please? Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. So we're here to talk a little bit about how culture drives gun politics, and I want to share a little bit about my personal journey and experience and how culture has literally, you know, drawn me in. And so my background is I'm History Channel's Top Shot Season 4 champion. If you haven't seen the show, thank you. If you haven't seen the show, in short, it's a marksmanship competition bringing Americans from all walks of life, right, to compete on a really, really fun show. And so 10 years ago, my life changed when season one of this TV show started airing, and like millions of Americans, right, I'd sit on the couch and watch this show, and it was educational, and it was fun. And on the education piece, I remember watching a challenge where these competitors were shooting AR-15s. And I'm like watching this, I'm like, whoa, okay, wait, these are just, you know, civilians shooting AR-15s, and then it got me wondering, hey, like, can civilians like me own an AR-15? And it was the beginning, right, of a discovery. Okay, yeah, sure. I, even though I live in California, even though I live in San Francisco, where I'm a terrorist, we'll come back to that at the end. But yes, I can own an AR-15, and now I own many. So, and no, Beto, you will not be taking away my AR-15s. So my background is I'm a self-taught amateur shooter, going up against, right, military guys and law enforcement. And, you know, before I auditioned for my season, right, I owned three guns. And also, I wasn't into the Second Amendment. I didn't really feel like I was part of gun culture. Sure, I owned some guns. I'd go to the range on occasion and shoot them. But I wasn't waking up every morning checking my phone and reading about what Second Amendment news is happening, you know, what Cal Guns Foundation is up to, you know, what mess the NRA has stepped into, you know, lately kind of thing. I was just kind of, the Second Amendment to me was one of those Bill of Rights things, right, that I learned in school and that it just really wasn't a daily focus for me. But after, you know, winning Top Shot, I won $100,000. I won a professional shooting contract with Bass Pro Shops. I quit my job at Google. And my background is Silicon Valley. I started my career in the tech industry. And I left one of the best companies to work for in the world to come find out what is it like to be one of us. And I had my fears, I will be honest, because I'm a gay guy. I'm a part of the LGBT community, and I came into this community, in the firearms community, thinking, oh shit. I'm sorry, I don't know if I can cuss, but sorry, I just did. Yeah, good. But right, I was concerned that, oh my gosh, am I going to run into bigoted, you know, anti-gay people, right, you know, here in the firearms community? And I got to tell you that I was pleasantly surprised that the Second Amendment community has welcomed me and other LGBT members with open arms, because it doesn't matter if you're gay, it doesn't matter if you're Asian, right? For us, it is about freedom. It is about protecting our Second Amendment rights. And it is about being out and vocal. And so another parallel that I think about with gay rights and gun rights is that if you look at me on, if some random person looks at me on the street, they're not going to know that I'm gay. They're not going to know that I'm a gun owner unless I tell them, right? And so it is up to each of us to be out as gun owners, to put on the positive face, right, of the gun community, right, that we're not scary people. We're not the criminals. We're not the dangerous ones. We're not the ones that the government needs to be regulating and controlling. It's the bad guys. And so I want to conclude. Let's talk about my terrorist status in San Francisco. What a joke. What a joke. All right, so if you haven't heard, right, a few weeks ago, the San Francisco Board of Supervisors passed a non-binding resolution designating the NRA as a domestic terrorist organization. I'm a lifetime member of the NRA. And what is happening here? That the government, my local government, does not agree with the Second Amendment, does not agree with citizens and residents of San Francisco who agree with the Second Amendment and support it. And so what have they done? They have applied the terrorist label in an effort to suppress my First Amendment right as well as my Second Amendment right. And that, to me, sounds and looks like tyranny. There is obviously a lot of conversations about what does tyranny look like. And being a resident of San Francisco, I'm seeing it happen. And I won't stand for this tyrannical government to control me, and neither should you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's very brave of you to, well, no, it's probably smart of you to step out of San Francisco. And now this is a first for me. this is really very, very strange. There have been more GRPCs than Andrew has had birthdays. And I can actually remember the very specific day when he became taller than I am tall. So it is with great pleasure that I introduce Ellen and my son, who has earned his place by himself, Andrew Gottlieb.
Well, now I'm kind of on the spot. So I'm actually here, this is a weird panel, which is one that is actually one of my favorites that we've been doing at GRPC because it is so different. This is five people now that are up on stage that are gonna give you a different perspective, different ideas on what we can do to grow this room so that it is not just this room. This conference is being live streamed on Facebook right now. And that gave me the idea to create this new project we're gonna work on called 2A Gaming, which sounds like an interesting idea and doesn't really make a lot of sense to a lot of people. But let me give you some numbers. 65% of adults in the United States play video games. 60% of those are active in politics. And now half of those play games that revolve around firearms. They're called shooter games. So you do the math. 65% of adults, that's 160 million people. Half of them playing gun games, 80 million, and 60% of those are active voters, people who will decide this country's politics on guns, 48 million people. That's 48 million people that we have to reach out to that are going to help us change the attack on gun culture. They're going to let us expand our base, get younger, and just have more fun doing it, too. So for a lot of people, video games are their first and only interaction with firearms. It's our job to encourage that relationship. I mean, I personally enjoy guns and video games a lot more because I don't have to pay for ammunition. And the big thing is this, and I know Lara's going to talk about this. The Second Amendment does not and shouldn't be a partisan issue. It should not be down party lines when we go to Congress. It should not depend who is president to worry about if your gun rights are safe or not. And you have so many people playing video games using guns every day who are very diverse in who they vote for, but they have that connection with us. So in August, those people were told by politicians that they were part of something that was to blame for a violent act committed by one individual. They didn't agree. Does that sound familiar to any of us? So just like law-abiding gun owners who are the target of similar blame, they're right to be upset. But the problem for gun culture is that instead of working with those people who we have so much common ground with, we ignore them. And now, unfortunately, a lot of them have been turning against guns. They get told video games are the problem, and they say, no, it's guns. But neither of those are true. And we can't afford to be losing more people. We have to grow this movement. We have to get younger. So now back to what 2A gaming is. So there's quite a few gamers who watch other people play games and even get advice from them. It drives quite a bit of money in this country. It's a $43 billion industry. Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Mixer are the biggest platforms, and they're growing rapidly. Even TV networks are struggling to compete against them. And just so you guys know, you have Twitch, which is owned by Amazon. YouTube is owned by Google. Facebook is obviously Facebook, and Mixer is owned by Microsoft. You have some of the biggest tech companies that are becoming some of the biggest places for people to go to basically get information. So 2A Gaming is something we're going to be doing. We're going to be live streaming on Facebook while playing games and talking about Second Amendment issues. So current events, issues going on, laws, anything that we would need to reach out to people to get them involved in their community and active. So this project is hoping to start soon. We've been doing test streams, and surprisingly, and this has really blown me away, I have not had a single negative interaction with anybody that I've reached. I've even had other streamers, other partners in the industry wanting to help as soon as we go live. And what was really cool is last night I went to Best Buy because we had issues with the tech setup in here. And as I was browsing for what I needed to get, somebody noticed what I was looking at and asked if I streamed. I told him what I did, told him I explained what I was starting, and he was like, oh my God, I work security. I love what you guys are doing. This is so fantastic. And so seeing that in the real world, this project is going to help us get younger. It's going to grow, and we're going to have a lot more fun sharing why we like guns to everybody else. And we are going to help shift the culture war so that we are not on the losing end. Thank you.
I'm Gene Hoffman. I am the founder and chairman of the artist formerly known as the Cal Guns Foundation, now the California Gun Rights Foundation, but still CGF. Culture drives politics. It's an important point. And I want to say something that I think many of us don't realize. We're winning. Okay, you can carry in D.C. You can carry in Chicago. Every single open Court of Appeals seat has an appointee waiting to be confirmed. We're going to win. We're going to literally drive the Second Amendment into the 7 or 8 states that cannot accept it. Somebody said to me, because I'm an accused terrorist, I work in San Francisco. They're like, Boogaloo? I was like, no. The threat needs to be credible, and the San Francisco Board of Supervisors are not credible. When Beto O'Rourke says, I'm coming to take it, you need to respond with unhappiness, But the truth is, he's the weirdo. This guy has decided that he does not want to be elected in Texas. And this is actually my core point. I want us to change the way we talk, the way we emote about what we're doing, okay? It is understandable how we got here. We took a right everyone understood to be fundamental, to not need to be protected. And in fact, for a good 180 years of our founding history, nobody had to protect it. Everybody else was thought to be a crank. And then all of a sudden we got under attack, and the other problem is we're all nerds. I'm sorry, but every single one of you knows the difference between 5.56 and 2.23. Okay? We nerds, we like to argue about the facts, and the thing is, we're right. Look, defensive gun use destroys any argument about taking guns away from normal people. But that's not what's the issue. The issue is emotional. And here's the thing. Because we've been under attack, because we've had to fight so hard over the last 40 years, we kind of act like we're the victim. We're not. We're the majority. I live in California. California is still the largest single market for guns in America. Okay? We're winning. So, who do you want to hang out with? The guy or the girl who sits there going, everybody's out to get me and I don't really like this. Or the one who's like, hey, Mr. Politician, dude, I'm sorry, but just because people don't answer the phone call about how many guns do you own from the government with I own them doesn't mean we don't all own them. We need to start behaving. We need to be the interesting and happy people in the room telling them about, yeah, guns are cool. Like, being a gun owner means that, like, when an earthquake happens in California, I don't have to worry that the CHP doesn't come to my door. Right? And it's not because I'm worried about it. It's because, well, I also own a fire extinguisher. Right? It is time, especially in the moments of a mass shooting, to be the people who are like, look, we can win on the facts, but the reality is you're sitting there talking about your neighbor. Just because you don't own a gun doesn't mean everyone beside you doesn't own a gun. In New York, in New Jersey, in Illinois, in California, in Hawaii. Go to Chinatown in San Francisco and you will find every illegal gun probably also federally possibly found. That's the truth. And it is now time for us to use that truth to invite people to open up. Be the person willing to stand up at your office, at the fantasy football drinks, and say, yeah, I'm a gun owner. It's great. Well, what about these mass shootings? There are crazy motherfuckers out there. But I'm not one of them, and you aren't either. Well, maybe I am. But no, seriously, it is time for us to take the attitude of winners. We are about to actually sweep the board, act like it, invite people to talk to you, because it is a good thing. It is a majority thing. It is apple pie and baseball. We gun owners. Thank you.
Declan?
That it is. My name is Declan McCullough. I'm like Gene here from the Northern California contingent, and I'm here representing a new Silicon Valley company called Talking, which I'll get to in a minute. But first I want to read some headlines over the last year or so. Twitter suspends Second Amendment Foundation's account on eve of annual gun rights conference. This was a few days ago, by the way. It's back now. Twitter suspends Republican lawmakers' reply to O'Rourke's proposed gun confiscation. Twitter locks Senator McConnell's account for posting video of protesters threatening him at home. Facebook labels quote from 5th century St. Augustine, a doctor of the church, as, quote, hate speech. Facebook blocks news article about Facebook blocking 5th century St. Augustine, quote. Which said, you have to concentrate on your own sins, not someone else's. Standard Orthodox Christianity, but that didn't stop Facebook. Twitter locks economist John Lott's account for discussing New Zealand mosque killers' views on guns. Reddit's quarantine of pro-Trump subreddit exposes more tech bias. YouTube deplatforms more Second Amendment advocates in another round of demonetization. Facebook deplatforms gun enthusiasts, eliminates Illinois Gun Owners Together group. Popular knitting platform Ravelry bans all Trump support as, quote, undeniably support for white supremacy, end quote. Apple told Parlay app developers to, quote, delete unacceptable users and would block updates if they didn't. Pinterest blacklists PJ Media and other conservative news sites. YouTube removes gun channels from their partner program. This includes not only gun reviews, but channels that discuss gun law and policy issues. And finally, Salesforce bars retailers from using its software to sell semi-automatic weapons. Now, there were some positive headlines. I found two. Facebook lifts ban on promoting 3D printed gun blueprints, at least for, quote, legitimate vendors. I don't know if it had something to do with that. There's Facebook restores post, quoting 5th century theologian St. Augustine. That was too much even for Facebook. And now, all this deleting and suspending and demonetizing accounts is what I call deplatforming, and my sense is that it's getting worse. And it will keep getting worse because there's no natural limiting factor, at least according to many of these Silicon Valley companies. The limit could have been that gun reviews are prohibited, but gun rights discussions are going to be okay. But as we heard a moment ago, that's not the case. And we can't count on that being the case. And so we may end up in a situation where anyone to the right of, say, what Bernie Sanders thinks on guns is not going to be able to share their political views online. Now, they can post photos of their children. They can post photos of or grandchildren, nieces, or nephews, or talk about cars or their vacations, because after all, these platforms are ad-driven, and the value comes from people using them. But this deplatforming doesn't have to completely succeed, but if you think that you might get temporarily or permanently suspended from Facebook or YouTube or Twitter for an incorrect opinion, maybe you're a little less likely at the margin to express it in the first place. And eventually, the scope of what's acceptable to talk about in public shrinks. And so that's why Second Amendment litigator Don Kilmer, who's up at, hey, Donnie, you're in the back of the room, raise your hand. Don's up at, I think, a 2:45 p.m. panel. But Don and I have started a new discussion site that we're announcing today in beta, and it's called Talking, and you can find it at talki.ng. And it's an aggregation, discussion, and messaging site that explicitly supports law-abiding Americans' right to self-defense. And you can thank you. You can post links to news articles, or you can post it, or propose laws or court opinions or whatever you like, and we've got a very nice commenting system, the best around. We're also going to publish original news and commentary later this year once we're out of beta. And we're free to use and free of ads. There's not one ad in the entire site, and it loads real fast. Our site, Talking, is transparent. We publish our algorithm. You can download the source code used to rank the stories on the front page. All moderator actions are disclosed publicly. There's no secret deplatforming, or we're going to bury you on the 14th page of search results going on here. About the only rule we're enforcing right now is what we call the media jackal rule. If you're posting about the stupidity or cupidity of some of our, many of our dear friends in the Fourth Estate, previous panel notwithstanding, you're supposed to tag that with the term media jackal. It's our preferred gender-neutral, politically correct way to refer to our hardworking friends in the Fourth Estate. So if USA Today comes out with another chainsaw, bayonet, flamethrower RPG video, and we're talking about it, you have to use the media jackal tag, and if you failure to do so will result in this being on your permanent record. So again, you can find our new site at talki.ng, and we're still in beta if you want an account. Come find me afterwards or email me at Declan, my first name, at well.com, and we hope you enjoy it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Laura?
Good morning. I want to thank Second Amendment Foundation. They are truly the organization in our industry that's being inclusive, because my job in this world is that I am the national spokesperson for the Liberal Gun Club. I represent more than 10,000 liberal gun owners who interact with my organization every day. Gun ownership is normal. We need to be talking to the people we are not normally talking to. I'm sorry, I'm really happy to be here. There's more than 100 people in this room that are my friends. You're not my audience. I don't need to be talking to you. That's not my job. My job is everyone else. My job, because I'm me, I'm a 40-something baseball mom. I'm a liberal. I'm really a liberal. I am not a normal. I am not the, oh, I'm a classical liberal. No, no, I'm liberal. You know, all those things, you and I probably don't agree on them, but that's okay, because guess what? I own a blue AR, and I go shoot it. I love to shoot. And I want to go talk to all those other people. So how do we do that? Okay. So first of all, I'm a woman, so I get to go talk to a room full of women all the time. There's at my law firm, I'm also a lawyer, there's a thing called the Women's Initiative. They all know I shoot. And as a matter of fact, I'm not here supporting my spouse. He's home taking care of my kids. I'm here supporting my rights. That's my job. And I go out and I talk to women, and I talk to liberal women about, I want to support my rights. When I was born, the year I was born, women in the United States could not buy a house on credit. They couldn't buy anything on credit without the signature of a man. I am never going back. And if you take my Second Amendment rights, you're going to take my other ones. I'm never going back to that, and that's what matters. I'm never going back to where my friends in this room, my female friends in this room who are here with their wives, can't be here with their wives. I'm never going back to where Chris can't be here talking about his husband. And if you take my Second Amendment right, you're going to take those. That's my job. That's what I do. But how do I talk to these people? Because I can't say that all the time. I talk about fun. I talk about what I care about. I talk about safety. Yeah, I want my kid to be safe. But you know what? If we ban the guns, look at how well fireworks worked. I want to do the things that work. I want to keep my kids safe. Come on out. I'll teach you. You want to talk about safety? Come to the range with me. We're not going to take any rounds. We're not going to take any live ammo. But I'm going to teach you how to load and unload a firearm. I don't want to do it in my house because I don't want you to be afraid of my gun in my house. So let's go somewhere we can do that, somewhere else. You want to learn? I'll teach all your friends. I'll teach all your friends these other things. I'll teach your friends safety. I'll teach your friends what holding a gun feels like, where we're not going to fire it. You don't have to do that. Go out and talk about the other parts. Talk about safety. But talk about, hey, if you want to learn, we'll take my 22. We'll go have some fun. We'll go on a Tuesday morning when it's not crowded and it's not full of the people who, because, like all of us, yeah, if I see, you know, something really interesting sitting on the table, hey, what did you bring to the range today? Can I do that? Don't do that with the starting shooters. Like, that's cool, but they're sitting there going, you know, they're shaking more than the speakers are up here. You know, it's nerve-wracking, and it's normal to be nerve-wracking. Remember that when you live in an inner city, San Francisco, I used to live there, when you live in an inner city, your normal interaction with a firearm, if you are not a firearm owner, is when you are having an interaction with the police. How often are interactions with the police pleasant when you didn't invite it? They're not. And so part of that is what we have to overcome. We have to talk about overcoming legitimate fear. Fear of a firearm is normal and healthy. You should be nervous and paying attention to what you're doing with a firearm at all times. That's what the four rules are about, to make us think about that. They're about, we need to pay attention with this, but we have to overcome that first. Wow, these are scary. Yeah, they're scary. Overcome that. Talk to the people you know that aren't the traditional gun owners. Me, you know, I was an anti-gunner. And how did I get up here? My husband over and over and over again saying, but you need to learn the facts. Just come with me. It doesn't have to be scary. Find a way to make it not scary. Bring those people in, because you know what? This room is great. This room is super exciting, but we need to grow this room. This new room needs to be 5,000 people from all different walks of life. And then we're going to win.
I would like to thank all of the speakers. If you will note, we're on time.